This Ash Wednesday, we begin our midweek Lenten sermon series, which is a common practice among Missouri Synod Lutherans. And this year, we're going to talk about this man. I even have an object lesson here for you. C.F.W. Walther. Look at him. What do you think about him? He's pleasant enough, but somebody definitely put too much starch in his collar, huh? Too much starch means, probably, that he is stiff, stuffy, unemotional, and dull. Now, we're discussing this man, C.F.W. Walther, because, as you know, he's a very important figure in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and its history. And this year, on October 25th, will be his 200th anniversary of his birth. But you also know, and might think it a little odd, that we would consider a man, C.F.W. Walther, when Lent is really about Jesus going to the cross for our salvation. Those last days of Jesus' life we call his Passion, and rightly so, because they were some of the most intense in human history. Indeed, Jesus' cross is the opposite of what we saw from Walther, dull, unemotional, stiff, stuffy. It's passionate. So how can C.F.W. Walther then have a place in our Lenten worship? Well, as you might guess, first of all, our sermons are going to really be about Christ's Passion, not Walther. But second, it turns out that old C.F.W. Walther was anything but stiff, or stuffy, or dull. Turns out he too was passionate, and passionate specifically about things that bring us to the Passion of Christ. So each week we're going to look at a moment in Christ's Passion, but we'll also see how that moment corresponds to a passion in Walther's life, something very precious to him, and so helps us proclaim Christ to us. Christ's passions and Walther's passions. We'll begin this afternoon with what might be viewed as Walther's crowning passion, law and gospel, which is ultimately proclamation of Christ's Passion. When Lutherans talk about law and gospel, we're not speculating like stuffy theologians do in their studies. Nor is this distinction between the law and the gospel really just child's play. The law and the gospel is showing our need for and the blessings of Christ's Passion. C.F.W. Walther, more thoroughly than any theologian in history, taught us how to rightly divide law and gospel. I'd like to tell you a story about his 39 evening lectures on law and gospel, which is how we've come about having his book, The Proper Distinction, came from his lectures. On the evening of September 12th, 1884, Friday evening, students began to file in to the newly constructed Beyer Auditorium on the campus of Concordia Seminary. And then in came the good doctor, Dr. Walther. He always, according to his students, walked with a spring in his step. And unlike some of his colleagues, this is what his students recalled, he remained quite thin through his 50 years at the seminary. His colleagues didn't, I suppose. And he always seemed full of energy. His wardrobe didn't change through those whole 40 years. He always wore the same thing, the same collar even. But his students admired his unique style. That evening of Friday, September 12th, 1884, Walther walked in with 6 pages of outlined notes for his lecture. And despite being up since 5:30, these students were kept awake, they recalled, by his dynamic voice and his strong delivery. Indeed, Walther was such a capable lecturer on the scriptures that even area clergymen would not drive in, but I suppose drive their horse and buggy, or laymen too, would make the trek to the campus to hear these lectures with the entire student body. And these lectures were well cared for. Many students transcribed them, and then they were collected together and recounted to us in the proper distinction, because they time and again showed the need for and the blessings of Christ's passion. Maybe some of you have even read Law Gospel. I think last year, for Bible class, you studied a summary of the book, God's Yes and God's No. Remember that? So this book and those lectures in their initial form have had much influence on the Lutheran Church and even confirmation students and Bible classes throughout the years and ever since. Why does what you would think to be a stuffy concept, law and gospel, still ring true today? Dr. Walther was instructing his young seminarians and new pastors in the area what really is the truth of the Scriptures. He was teaching just as St. Paul taught his young pastor, Timothy. Rightly dividing the word of truth is the criterion on which a pastor may be judged faithful. St. Paul writes, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Properly dividing this word of truth is important for us even today. Walther's 39 evening lectures still focus our eyes on the eternal truth of God's word. What is the law then, according to Walther, according to the Scriptures? The law shows our need for Christ's passion. It shows us what we are to do and not to do. By doing so, it shows us our sinfulness against God. It shows us the consequences of our sin, helplessness, and death. The law then compels us to come before the Lord in repentance, as we just did, even with foreheads marked with ash, begging for mercy. But forgiveness is not withheld from us. That's what the gospel is all about. The gospel proclaims the blessings of Christ's passion, his suffering, and his death for us. By going to the cross, Jesus has taken our sin upon himself. He suffers the penalty for our wickedness in his flesh. That, then, repairs the broken relationship between God, the thing that our transgressors do, alienating us from our Father. And once we are reconciled to God by the gospel, we receive all the blessings he earnestly longs to shower upon us. Eternal life, of course, but every good thing. Shortly before Christ entered into Jerusalem, he predicts his passion to his future murderers, ironically enough. His passion is a wonderful exposition of law and gospel. St. Luke records in chapter 13, "On that very day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, 'Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you.' And he said to them, 'Go, tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This proclamation of Christ's passion is an example of law and gospel. Christ remains passionate even to those who send him away. The law demands that we repent of sending Christ away. The law shows that we are guilty of sending him away. And the Pharisees sought to do just this. send him away, to get him out of the way. On that very day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Now Jerusalem has always done this, always sent his messengers away. God has sent so many prophets to them to speak the necessary warning of law to his people, and yet they killed them. Now Jesus is passionate to gather Jerusalem to himself. But she was stubbornly refusing. Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. We often send Christ away, like those Pharisees, both wanting him out of our way, or just by flat out rejecting his passionate love. Often his word explicitly commands us to cast off the works of darkness, and we refuse. His word says to love your brother, and then you tell Jesus that you're going to go on hating your brother. His word says to remain faithful to your spouse, and you tell him off, reject his word, and lust after another in your heart or in deed. His word says to be satisfied with all that the good Lord has given you. And then you reject the Lord and his gifts, calling them insufficient, silly, or not necessary. And yet, he remains passionate about sharing his gifts with you, even his own flesh and blood. And still, you reject his body. We place ourselves over Christ this way, spurning his instruction and favoring our desires. And then the law declares to us that unless we repent of sending him away, we will be left desolate. Christ said, see, your house is left to you desolate. Jerusalem refused to receive Christ, which we know too well from the Holy Week account, especially when finally came to the end of that week, Good Friday. Even though many cried, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord on Palm Sunday, which we will too, by Friday, they crucified him. They still would not allow Christ to gather them. 40 years later, after the crucifixion and resurrection, Jerusalem was left desolated in AD 70. So also for us, if we keep Jesus at arm's length throughout our life, or trust for our salvation in something other than his passionate love, God's law declares that we will suffer eternal desolation in hell. But the gospel proclaims that Christ remains passionate to come even to us, even to those who would cast him off. Christ will reach his goal of coming to us in Jerusalem, of gathering us together. He said to them, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside Jerusalem. Jesus knew his coming into Jerusalem would mean his death, but he cared that much for us. This is Jesus' love made perfect. That is giving his life to give us life. That's passion for us. Christ loves us passionately, even though we send him away. And Jesus' death forgives, reconciles to God even all who send him away. The gospel is unconditional. Those who believe this good news will receive the blessings of Christ that he passionately longs to give to us. There is forgiveness even for those who have cast off Christ, who reject him in the city, but who have now come to repentance and plead for his mercy. Some who were now refusing to be gathered would someday hear the law, repent, and believe the gospel. Assuredly, I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Some will bless Jesus in faith and say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Some who yet today reject him. And then these would be gathered together and see him again for eternity. We who bless Jesus in faith, that is, we who believe Christ's gospel, that is, the gospel of his passion for us, will also see him. The eyes of faith will see his care in this life, and our eyes will see him visibly forever in heaven. So from this example, Jesus' own passion, we see that Walther, while a little bit stuffy looking, I'll look at him one more time, that stiff collar, I think he was on to something. Those weren't just theological abstractions in those evening lectures about the law and the gospel there in Beyer Auditorium in St. Louis. He was giving us the truth, the way that God gives us heaven. He was giving us the cross of Jesus, the passion, Christ's passion, and the forgiveness of the eternal life that he earned for us. There's nothing stiff or stuffy or overstarched about that, huh? Give Walther another look, and we will next week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.